Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during October. Ready? Let's go exploring. Before twilight fades, I want you to note where the sun has set. That's west, more or less. Above the horizon, by about twice the width of your fist, is the unmistakably bright star Arcturus. Now, you might detect a slightly ruddy tinge to Arcturus, and that's because it's a red giant star, 25 times the sun's diameter and emitting 170 times more energy. Oh yeah, and it's relatively close by too, just 37 light years away. So the bright gleam you see comes from light that left Arcturus in 1981. Back then, Ronald Reagan took office as president and NASA launched its first space shuttle. Wow, how time flies. Now, if you get out early enough after sunset, and if you've got a straight shot toward the western horizon, you'll spot something more dazzling than Arcturus. That's Jupiter, which is low in the southwest. Don't wait too long to track it down. Jupiter sets about 2 hours after the sun goes down as October begins, but only 1 hour afterward by Halloween. A little less pressing is looking for Saturn and Mars, which are well to Jupiter's left. Mars is farther away, a bit east or left of due south, but you almost can't miss its bright orange-tinged beacon. It's still pretty, but wow, back in July, it was closer to Earth than it's been since 2003, and it looked 4 times brighter. Saturn is about halfway between Mars and Jupiter, and quite a bit dimmer than either of them. If you have trouble picking out Saturn, a fat crescent moon will slide close by, just 2 degrees higher up, on the evening of October 14th. Now, ordinarily, when celestial objects get this close to the evening's western horizon, they sink from view in just a few weeks. That's the fate of Arcturus, for example. But not so with Mars, which is trying to keep pace with Earth, though not quite succeeding, as it races around the sun. Its eastward motion among the stars over the coming weeks and months is still obvious, and it will defy being swallowed into the glare of evening twilight until next May. By then it will have migrated from the top of the teapot star pattern in Sagittarius, which is where it's sitting now, all the way to a perch near the upraised club wielded by Orion the Hunter. That's not quite everything as far as bright planets go. At the very end of October, you've got a slight chance of glimpsing Mercury, very low in the southwest, roughly 30 minutes after sunset. If it's not apparent, don't worry. You'll have a little better odds in early November. Aside from Arcturus, are any bright stars in view? I'm glad you asked. Look for the Great Square of Pegasus rearing up in the east as it gets dark. The square, which looks tipped up on one corner, represents the body of a mythical horse which, right now, is on its back in the sky. Seems the gods never got around to finishing Pegasus. It's got a neck and head extending off to the right, and its legs are sticking up toward overhead. But this horse has no behind. It ends at the square's left corner, at a star called Alpheirats, or Alpheirats, depending on who's saying it. The gods also got a little crossed up here. Alpheirats is actually the anchor star for the constellation Andromeda, which extends off to the left from that point. Now make a generous quarter turn to your left so that you're facing northwest. See anything familiar over the horizon? Yep, it's our old friend the Big Dipper. We're used to seeing it higher in the sky, but here it's not far above the horizon. Actually, in this pose, it's easy to see how the Dipper is just a part of the larger star pattern tracing out the Great Bear, Ursa Major. The bear's pointy nose, marked by the star Musida, is about 2 fists to the right of the Dipper's bowl. The bear's legs dangle underneath, and the farther north you are, the more of them you'll see. Its tail is marked by the arc of the 3 stars in the Dipper's handle. I've never understood why this celestial beast has a long tail, because real bears have stubby ones. And yet, many widely separated cultures have recognized this general pattern of stars as a bear. Some historians think its origin as such might date back more than 10,000 years. Here's something else to think about. As the starry sky wheels around through the changing seasons, old constellations sink in the sunset, like the teapot in Sagittarius, and new ones like Pegasus rise up in the east. But for star patterns like the Big Dipper in the northern part of the sky, this seasonal shift becomes a slow counterclockwise rotation around Polaris, the North Star. Here's your word for the day, circumpolar, which is what astronomers use to describe constellations near Polaris that never rise or set, but simply circle around. Polaris isn't the brightest star in the sky, but it's easy to find. Look for the two stars on the right side of the Big Dipper's bowl. Now draw an imaginary line through them and follow that line upward and to the right until you spot a medium bright star pretty much all by itself. And what might that be? It's Polaris, the North Star. Now measure 3 fists to the upper right of Polaris. You'll see a group of 5 stars crudely shaped like a 3. Or maybe you'll see them as a broad W tipped up on its left corner. The whole pattern is a little bigger than your clenched fist. This is the constellation Cassiopeia, who in Greek mythology is a queen. You'll see that Cassiopeia and the Big Dipper are situated on opposite sides of Polaris. So when one is up high, the other is down low. The Dipper dominates in spring and summer, while Cassiopeia rules in fall and winter. Now look to the upper left of Cassiopeia and above Polaris for a wide pattern of 5 stars looking a little like an upside-down house perched on the point of its roof. This is the constellation Cepheus, who is the husband of Cassiopeia and the mythical king of Ethiopia. About the same distance to the lower right of Cassiopeia are the stars of Andromeda, their daughter. One more thing. A modest meteor shower called the Orionids peaks on the night of October 21st. Orion rises about 11 p.m. these nights, so that's the earliest you could hope to see any of these shooting stars, which are actually bits of dust shed by Halley's Comet. But this year, light from a waxing gibbous moon, just 3 days from being full, will be a nuisance. You might glimpse a few extra meteors per hour from a dark site in the hours before dawn. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Next month, I'll explain why Queen Cassiopeia is not a happy camper. Until then, I wish you clear skies.